I thought somebody was saying something over here.
We were without God, but now we are brought near by the blood of Christ.
Okay.
That's our position now.
What's the theological word that we often use? We've been brought near to God. We once were heading this way in rebellion, and God has brought us back. We say that we are now
reconciled.
So in this verse, you can put reconciliation right next to it, right? That you and I are reconciled to God. I see two that were going to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, and where as near as Christ is, there's the hymn 428, which I had to look up. I don't remember the number. So nigh, so very nigh to God, I cannot nearer be, for in the person of his Son I am as near as he.
Amen. Alex?
I was going to make the same comment, although not with reference to the hymn. Thank you, Phil. I was just noticing the real contrast here between strangers and aliens, and mm-hmm, then mm-hmm. how close this says we are, and so.
Yeah. Anybody up here?
I'm not sure you can get there, but. I was going to ask the question, who are the yous here in this portion? That at that time, you, who does the you refer to here?
Nation.
Was that?
Nations. That's us, the nation
the
of
Gentiles.
The Jews. Yeah, the Gentiles. Yeah.
Right, Gentiles,
right.
Yeah.
Good.
Go
ahead.
And in the context, it's the Gentiles and the Jews being united together, right?
Yeah.
All right. We'll move on to the next one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and verse 13. 1 John 5, 11 and 13.
To read?
Yes, please.
1 John 5, 11. And this is the record, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Very good. So what do we glean from that then, as far as our position? It's not too hard. That we have what?
Eternal life.
Life.
Eternal life. Right? We have eternal life. So in all of these things, as we've already said in connection to the one, but I want to bring them all together. And whether it's forgiveness of sin, mm-hmm. we have forgiveness of sin. I have forgiveness of sin. You have forgiveness of sin. No matter what your culture is, if you put your faith in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the forgiveness of sin. You've been redeemed. If, in the manner of reconciliation, I've been reconciled to God through Christ, you've been reconciled to God through Christ. Now in the manner of eternal life, the word in Christ isn't used, but it's in his Son. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have eternal life. You have eternal life. And so when we are going to bring this toward the end, we'll bring this back to our subject as to unity in our subject, which is our subject. We're going to see that, as already said, when we look at one another, we need to see one that is forgiven. We need to see one that is reconciled. I need to see you as a brother for whom Christ died. And if I have a difficulty because of whatever the reason might be, you're not my enemy. You're one for whom Christ died. And if I can see that, right? If I can see that, then, and I can appreciate that, and I look at you as one for whom Christ died and has brought us into the same position, then there's really the ground for unity. That is the ground of unity. Okay, let's look at a couple others. Yeah, go ahead.
If you have a problem with your brother
and you see him in the life of Christ as a brother Christ died for, it goes from you having a problem with your brother to you and your brother together against the problem that is in between you. Mm-hmm. You're changing your perspective.
Good thinking.
Just to put that in another term, I really like the visual of that, mm-hmm. that as opposed to two people sitting on opposite sides of the table, we're sitting on the same side of the table looking for a solution mm-hmm. to what might have caused interference with the relationship in that situation. I think it's a very good visual.
Romans chapter 8, verse 2. We can read 1, too, because that's a good verse. Verses 1 and 2.
Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Very good. What can we glean from that? What position is it saying that we are?
That we are now free.
Amen.
And there is no condemnation.
And there is no condemnation. Yeah. Which is extremely important. Can you tell me why, Alex?
Everybody has always been under the condemnation of God who is not saved. Whether Jew or Gentile, whether following the law or no, we were all of us condemned. And the fact of no condemnation is really the unbelievable part of all of it. And there's more, but this is the part that really is the gospel message, that God can forgive us even though we are who we are.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that I can accuse in the brother.
Yeah, very good. And what I wanted to ask, my next question was going to be, what's one of the names of the devil?
Accuser.
The accuser of the brethren. So don't do his job. He's been at his job for a long time. He doesn't need your help. Right? Mm-hmm. Don't do his job. So when I start finding fault in another brother, for whatever reason, culture-wise, ethnic-wise, whatever it might be, because they're different than me or they have a different way of approaching things than me, and I start finding fault with them and I start tearing them down or criticizing them, or I tell Steve, you know, Mark is a little, then I'm doing the devil's job. I'm taking the role of the accuser. And there is now no condemnation. Let's bring that home personally. When the devil comes and accuses me in my own life, and he says, Tim, really? You're going to say that, and then you thought this? Really? Then I need to bring before the Lord that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And that's my position. So whether it's individually or whether it's in unity, don't do the devil's job. And don't let the devil do a job on you. Mm-hmm. You've been set free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed.
Just in this connection, I was thinking that we had yesterday the point that Paul had to speak to Peter in very strong terms, because Peter had allowed old ways of thinking to affect his attitude towards fellow believers, Gentiles, that he was not eating with. So how do we put together a verse like this? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't do the devil's work of accusing fellow believers. And something like where Paul says in Galatians 2, I withstood him to the face. He was blamable. He was to be blamed. And there must be some way that both of these can be true, right? So I have a thought, but I'd like to just put that out there. How can both of these be true? How can it be that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and yet in specific moments, you're to be blamed, Peter? How can we put those together?